Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another episode of the Scoutcast, brought to you by Fantasy Football Scout. As always, you are joined by me, Andy, FPL Mode, and we are also joined by the ever unflappable Seb. How's it going?
All right, mate. I really badly wanted you to say the ever unflapjackable and yeah. Introduce Rich.
Oh, so close. It was there. Would have been good. Was waiting, would have been I didn't good. Take it. But how's it going, mate? You all right?
I'm okay. What a week, eh? How are you? What a weekend.
Yeah, what a week.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we really love FPL. Rich, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. Unflappable.
You are unflappable as well. You are the king of defenders.
I am. Although I didn't get Botman, so.
Yeah, that's true. But you had a good week otherwise?
Apart from not having Botman. Yeah, no, it's been a good week.
Yeah.
A good week. I'm looking forward to this week as well, obviously with the double game week.
It's been a very, very interesting week. Obviously, the swings in overall ranks this week have just been remarkable. We've got teams that are getting over 100, teams that are getting high into the 80s and 90s, teams that are getting 60s and getting massive red arrows, teams that have had four or five goal scorers and still getting red arrows. It's been a very, very interesting weekend. The one massive thing you can say is that, and I know this is such a cliche, but you know, points are so bunched up. That's why we're seeing these massive swings in overall ranks. And the best thing you could do is just chill out, throw your phone at the screen and just continue doing what you shouldn't, you know, normally do. but it's been one of those kind of weeks. We've got a lot to talk about tonight, by the way. We're going to be looking at our points. Some we're going to be looking at for a lot longer than others. We're going to be looking at the over and under table so far. We are, of course, going to be talking about Luton and Burnley because they have their double game week this week in game week 7. We're going to be looking at their defence. We're going to be talking about over or under, which is going to be a very special one this week. It's just a 1 week one about those double game week players. So that'll be fun. We're going to look at our best teams, look at the community team, which is dead to me now. And then we're going to do a bit of a Q&A before we finish off as well. Before I do anything else, make sure as well, though, especially with a double game week coming, if you want to pick those players for Burnley and Luton, you don't know a lot about them, use the Scouts member area because it's absolutely brilliant. You can go on there, find the stats you want, pick those differentials you want who have a double game week. You know, if you're not sure which players get all the minutes, go on the members area and you can find it pretty quickly. We are going to obviously talk about it tonight too, but everything we grab is from the members area too. Thank you so much for the people that are in the chat already. We've got over 200 people in the chat, almost 250 people in the chat already, which is fantastic for the first couple of minutes. So let's jump straight in and have a look at our points. Here we go. So I've still got Pickford in goal. He got me 2 points. Chilwell, who's just been an absolute nightmare to own, came on and got booked. So for a 0 pointer there. But if you look at the rest of my defenders on the bench, I had a doggy with 0 and Saliba with 1. So it wasn't that bad a choice to play him in the end. Stupinan got an assist and got 6 points. Colwell with 2. And Mbeumo with 1. Interesting chat about Mbeumo, I think, tonight we might have, whether he's a bit of a sell now. Rashford with 3 points. Foden with 11. Saka with 13. Bruno with 10. Lovely points across the board there. Alvarez, obviously Rodri went off. I got sent off. And then Alvarez went off before 60. And then Haaland, captain, with 12. My defence was nothing to write home about. Just loads of ones and zeros. 61 points, I think that was, for a 1 million rank drop, which was quite horrendous. After Sunday, I was loving life. I had Foden goal, Bruno goal, obviously Haaland captain there. I was doing quite well and just the points just did not come after that. And obviously Newcastle did very well. Mitoma, I was very, very happy that Mitoma was benched because obviously he's in a lot of teams that are maybe not being looked after much anymore. And obviously he came on and scored 2 goals and got 14 points. So there you go. That kind of summed the week up for me. But yeah, so down to pretty much 3 million overall rank. So the climb is going to be sweet. Rich, talking about climbing, I mean, tell us the next defender you're bringing in, because you are just striking gold every week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's some luck as well. And yeah, I ended up bringing in Walker this week, who obviously he got an assist really early doors as well. Beautiful assist for Foden, and a great goal. I'd never actually planned to get Walker until the very last minute. I was searching to see if Rico Lewis was going to be playing. And then I just decided when we found out Rico Lewis wasn't going to be playing and Walker was playing, then I was just thinking back to the England games where Walker, you know, he's been incredible this season. He's been a lot more attacking, you know, than he has been previously. He's been a pick I'd never really want to pick for City.
Yeah.
So I couldn't resist going there, even though I just sold Diaz the week before. But there was risk. I mean, it's because I didn't want to play Yao Pedro as well, whose name I say wrong. So I'm just going to say Pedro, actually, just to be safe. But yeah, I got 80 points. That Walker transfer, there was some luck, but I'm happy with him going forward. Estupiñán 6. Trippier got 18. You know, he's got 27 points over the last 2 weeks since I got him in.
Ridiculous.
And again, I almost sold Saka to Son instead of bringing in Trippier. So I think I worked out I'm about 30 something points up. You know, if I'd done Saka to Son, I wouldn't have had Trippier, for example. So, and I mean, Seb can testify, I was very, very close to doing that. So, again, I've gone down a different route and there's been luck there. Robertson only got 2 points, so he actually let the ban down. But he created, 6 chances. You know, Van Dijk missed a big chance from him. So I'm still very happy with Robertson. Midfield did okay, not as well as yours. So Rashford 3, Bruno 10, Bumo 1, Sterling 2, Saka 13. And then Haaland captain.
Yeah. I mean, it's brilliant, mate. The one thing I'll say, if you look, I've been looking at my defence all year and I've barely got any points from them all year that isn't, you know, what everybody else has, if that makes sense. Whereas you just seem to be cleaning up at the moment. And look at the screen. You're obviously the only one on a green arrow. So fair play.
It's only been the last 2 weeks, though, hasn't it? Like, it's only been the last 2 weeks. Because, I mean, Robertson, I brought him in for the Bournemouth game and he did nothing. Then he got a 9-pointer and a 12-pointer. I mean, obviously, like we said, Trippier's got 27 over 2 weeks. So I think before that, I didn't have Udogie and stuff. And you remember I was languishing, you know, I was well over a million, like literally 2 weeks ago. So
fair play.
Just a short-term bit of luck.
Now, credit where it's due, bud. I think that's lovely, especially considering you even got some stick for suggesting Trippier. And obviously it's come back in absolute spades. So well done, son. Seb, let's have a look at your points, because you were kind of, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I was genuinely shocked with what happened with your rank this week. I know you obviously had a red card, but talk us through it.
So I've got Edison in goal, Botman, that's where the good things end, give or take. Was nice, brought him in. Gusto with a red card. Estupiñán at the back as well. Rashford and Bumo, Bruno Fernandes and Foden. In the midfield, Haaland captain up front, Nicholas Jackson and João Pedro. And then I benched Chilwell, which felt like a good decision. And I benched Saka, which felt like a bad decision. and Turner and Bordock are there as well. So yeah, a few decent points. On Saturday night, was it? I'd gone from wherever I was, like 500, 300k to like 100k. And then by Sunday night, I like 1.3 million, which is, I mean, if I'd played Saka, that would have clawed me a healthy amount of points back, probably be about where I started, maybe 600, 500k or something. So that decision, obviously a poor one. But the end, the rest of it is just knock-ons from previous stuff, you know, go back to Gabriel and other things that I've not managed to make happen in my team. Would have had Trippier if the plan had worked, but it didn't. I've got a Botman, which I'm happy with. But the rest of my team, not so much. I avoided Alvarez, fortunately, but Jackson couldn't come in and capitalise, and Jackson is no longer in my team. His fixtures have come to an end, and I now require a superior striker who has 2 fixtures.
Oh, we'll be talking about that.
I was going to say as well, I mean, I know you got unlucky with Gusto, but obviously I think you're quite, well, Bulldog wouldn't have come on, but I mean, Bulldog would have got a lower score than Gusto if he played.
Very true.
Probably. I mean, my bench, so I obviously this didn't matter, but at one point, for reasons, for life reasons, Saturday morning was a bit of a rush. and I made my transfers and then set the team up and didn't pay enough attention to the bench. And so when I realized I had Chilwell first and Saka second on the bench after making the transfers, which is like Gabriel to Botman, I did have Saka first on the bench originally, but then when I changed the team around, I didn't fix it properly. And so I think there was one moment where I was like, oh no, am I going to get Chilwell in for João Pedro if João Pedro doesn't come off the bench and not Saka? So actually, I'm kind of pleased that João Pedro came on and got a minute or two, because at least it stopped that being too painful.
Lovely. Yeah, it's we've had some interesting weeks, and I think this one's up there in terms of the drama for the overall rank so far. My only saving grace was that I don't remember any of Saturday or most of Sunday, so that's absolutely fine. If you're going to do it in a week like this. Just having a look at the overs table. So this is the James Ward-Prowse table, of course. He has been overtaken. Mateta is now top. So he's at top of overperformers so far this season. Then Ward-Prowse, then Matoma is next, interestingly. Awunyi, Estupinan, Foden, Madison, Diaby, Foster and Lamptey all make up the rest of this table at the moment. Some interesting ones are obviously, I feel like, have crept in here, namely Matoma, Madison and Diaby. I think they have been in there maybe lower down, but they're obviously kind of creeping up now. But obviously that's quite interesting. Foden and Madison in particular. Madison, I'm not sure, Rich. I saw a few little bits today that said he might be injured, but he's kind of alleviating those fears a little bit as well. Is that right?
Was that Madison, did you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently he's had a scan, but it sounded like it was just precautionary. And yeah, Foden's interesting because obviously he outscored Alvarez, but I mean, the goal he scored was must have been very low XG, and I think it was his only shot.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a brilliant goal, but I'm not surprised when stuff like that happens after what? How many games have we had? Six. I should know this. Yeah. Six.
And I mean, the only other one on here, Seb, that I'll mention as well, Matoma. Like I said at the beginning of the pod, obviously he was benched, and everybody was expecting it to come at some point because he's played pretty much every game, and obviously he came on and scored two goals. That's just a kind of, you know, good outcome for those people that had him, isn't it? He came on at halftime, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've had my fair share of luck at that with João Pedro, in fact, so another Brighton player.
Yes.
So I think, yeah, fair enough. And certainly overperforming here at the moment. Although, so I don't know, is he a good finisher? Is he not? As in, when we look at the numbers, because I know last season started off doing a similar thing and then progressed back to not overperforming, give or take. So, you know, this isn't linear, right? You know, you score a goal that you shouldn't score, then you don't score a goal you should score. It's not like you just stay at the mean all season. We look back after 100 games and maybe you hit the mean, but that journey is very bumpy. So there's every chance we're just seeing the bumps here. So I wouldn't want to, only a small sample. I wouldn't want to look into that too much and project too far forward. And that goes for everyone on these lists, of course. Always, you want to combine it with what you're seeing when you're watching the football and what you know about those players historically. But I actually think what you mentioned there, the interesting thing is the Brighton rotation. So we spoke about this, I think, on Friday, was it, Andy, where we were looking at the teams from the last two fixtures and going, it's not even like there's a first and second team or a cup team or whatever. There is just mass rotation with potentially the exception of like the centre-backs. And I think I said Pascal Gross and then he didn't start this one. So yeah, Matoma coming off the bench is in part fortunate, but also I guess if you do want to have Brighton players going forward, and is it about game week 8, 9, 10, something like that, their fixtures take a nice turn for the better again. Potentially, if you do want a part of their attack, you just accept that when European fixtures are on, you're going to get benchings. But if they're making early subs and the squad is just getting rotated, you know, it's not first and second 11, it's just using the squad, you will get minutes here and there and you may get a couple of goals like you did with Matoma.
Yeah, exactly that. And I mean, they have continued in the trend that they're doing this year, is that their XG is ridiculous, but their XGC is also ridiculous. So, you know, they are a team that's got to attack as well. Yeah. Let's have a look at the underachievers so far then this season. Jackson still heavily on top there. Another week, obviously, where he failed to return, did get booked again, and now is suspended for the next game. So make sure if you have him, you know, he's definitely suspended, so he's definitely not going to be playing next week. Enzo Fernandez second, but obviously took that penalty and missed. Eze, Bruno Fernandez and Rashford still healthily there in the top five, even though Bruno scored this week. And Bumo, Mope, Havertz, Billing and Chilwell also on there. Interesting saying that Havertz, I think, started the game but came off very early, didn't he? So that's obviously not good for him. And I think it got booked as well for a zero.
Other way around, Havertz came on.
That's right.
Fabio Vieira started and then Havertz came on.
And Havertz got booked after he came on as well. So obviously got the 0 pointer. A few here. I mean, Jackson's a you know, if you own Jackson, you sell him now, I would have thought. But Bruno and Rashford's still there, Seb. They're still there.
This is Seb's game week one team.
Look at it. Man, when I was putting this together earlier, I was like, oh dear God. Like, why am I 1.3 million? Well, this table, that's why. So either there's some misfortune here, or I am not very good at reading shooting. I mean, we've seen people over, but you know, Rashford in the past has been an overperformer. So I think that just speaks to how random this can be. Jackson, the fixtures are coming to an end, and now there's Morris. So over or underperformer, he is gone for me because, as mentioned, keeping for those fixtures. Still got Bruno and for Rashford, so happy enough with that. And Eze, I've never owned Eze.
You love Eze.
I'd really like, I mean, maybe just because of this table, right? But he's brilliant. He's such a good footballer. And he's such an important part of that Palace side. Takes penalties, takes set pieces, creates for himself and for others from open play. Other than the fact that I guess Palace aren't the strongest team overall, there's almost nothing not to like.
Yeah, I like it. And Rich, before we move off this one as well, Chilwell right at the bottom there in terms of underperformers. I mean, is he just a must sell now? Like he's not starting games. He might start the next game, but it feels like one of those players where you're just going to start him every week and hope he plays. And, you know, you've got no idea whether he's going to every week.
It feels like the whole Gabriel debate all over again. And I guess we can think and, you know, we can speculate he might play because of this, he might play because of that. But ultimately, if a defender's not playing regularly, I think they're a sell. Obviously, apart from Rico Lewis. But, I mean, I honestly think it's not worth the thought process. As in, I almost think if I didn't have a backup defender, ignoring the fact it's a double game week, I'd even be tempted to do a hit for like Botman or something. Just get it done.
Yeah, do you know what? I've thought that. I've thought about whether, I mean, differences, I suppose, like you said, if you don't have a backup defender. So if you're like Seb, for instance, and you've got Baldock on the bench that's doing nothing, is that then worth a hit, Rich, do you think?
Possibly. I mean, I know I've just said to do it, but I mean, I think it's almost at that level. Like, as in, if it's a free transfer, I think it's an absolute no-brainer. I would just get rid. I can't be bothered to, if I own, to speculate on hoping he plays. Like, I know it's a good fixture. I know he nearly scored. But yeah, I just could not be bothered with that. I think just get it done. Obviously, for the hit, it's a lot harder. And you could even then justify, do you go for a Luton defender?
I was just about to say that.
Because you're freeing up more money and you're kind of getting half. I don't want to say it's a minus two, but it kind of is.
But surely, like someone's just mentioned in the chat as well, surely Chilwell is going to start now. They've got James out. They've got Gusto out.
People were saying this with Gabriel. We were saying, oh, Zinchenko's training, he's definitely going to start. And I know he did eventually.
To be fair, Gabriel did play when Zinchenko started. I think the thing with Gabriel was the party injury. So the unfortunately, we never got to quite, I think, offer the proof or disproof for the Zinchenko-Gabriel theory, because in the same week, the following week that Zinchenko started, Partey had got injured. So we don't know if it was tactical or waiting for Zinchenko fitness. And I think with Chilwell, it's like a similar thing, right? Because there's, like you said, there's the tactical idea of is it he wants that shape and therefore a sort of more winger-esque type player, which isn't necessarily Chilwell. And then the injuries, but none of them are on Chilwell's side. So while you would think in terms of like personnel, Chilwell comes back into the team, he's not going to directly replace Gusto, is he? So you know, you could see like Dazazi right back and someone else in at centre back. I guess Colwell centre back, Chilwell left back would be the hope.
Yeah.
But it's not like when James got injured, you could go, oh, well, that's Gusto then, because that's the replacement.
The big difference there is what you just said with it. If Dissasi's starting right back, he's got no attacking impetus at all, really. So they're going to have to attack down the left, and you would have thought they'd play Chilwell there. The only thing I'll say is, though, there's no real upside anymore. Like, Chelsea are genuinely just not very good at the moment. So it's not like you're even bringing them in and hoping that, you know, they then keep a clean sheet or they get points that way. I think they've lost three games of the first six already, haven't they? They're in 14th. So it's not exactly like Chelsea are a good team to invest in at the moment, Rich.
I mean, I think they've been slightly unlucky. You know, when you look at the stats, I mean, you know, they had a goal disallowed, for example, Sterling assist, Dissasi, who scored.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was offside. But I'm just thinking, like, even that aside, like, what's the best case if you have Chilwell? I mean, obviously, he starts against Fulham and scores. But you're hoping, you know, even if you're very confident, I say you're going to be 70% confident he starts against Fulham.
Yeah.
And then what's going to happen? You're then going to be, what, 80% confident he starts against Burnley?
Yeah.
And both of those games, while they're, you know, it's against weaker teams, they're both away from home.
And
I just think it's not like Pedro, where at least Pedro is on penalties. And I mean, Seb said about, you know, Matoma came off the bench, you know, Brighton just score. It's like watching the Miami Dolphins or something. You know, they're going to put up so many points. I just don't see that with Chilwell.
Yeah, and also, it's not like you're also moving to defenders. Primarily people will be moving to Newcastle defenders, and their fixtures are so good for so long that it just makes sense. And that's one of those things where you just said there about, you know, maybe for a hit, it could actually make sense for a hit this week, considering how long you're going to have those Newcastle defenders for.
Yeah.
Seb's like...
Price movement both ways as well.
Yeah.
I'll happily jump in there. I think the thing for me is sort of like what Rich said, but for my decision-making, I guess I'd add just one caveat on that, which is other than, say, like injuries fully dropped, which I guess is the conversation with Chilwell, but yeah. I don't know about fully, or suspensions or something... I would never really consider a player. They must leave this week. I mean, look, I've held players. I held Gabriel for ages, obviously, which eventually got some minutes, which was nice, although still underscored Saliba. I've held Jackson for a while. For me, it's more about who you're bringing in, not who you're getting rid of. So in this week, if you're like, I need to sell Chilwell, it's not do you need, it's is, yeah, he looks like a sell, but is there an opportunity to improve on that position with your one or two very valuable transfers? So is that Luton, is that Burnley, or is it Newcastle? I think that's where you need to be looking. Like, is there the opportunity to upgrade on that position?
Yeah. Just in case...
One other point about
just in case people are listening, by the way, and they don't realise it's a double game week this week, Seb isn't saying that Burnley and Luton players are up there with Newcastle defenders. He's obviously saying it because of the double game.
What I've really liked so far about two of the worst teams in the league is their defence, Andy. Yeah, Rich is into that, yeah.
Sorry, Rich.
No, there's a third scenario with Chilwell, and the reason I was so quick to sell him was before he'd even been benched, he got 60 minutes and 61 minutes against West Ham in game week three, game week two, and then Forest in game week four. So, I mean, there is a third scenario where even if you're really confident Chilwell starts and say it's 70%, I think it's lower. Exactly. Mm. So he could start and yeah, he could get hooked at half time. It feels like he's on a very short leash.
Yeah. He's the kind of player now that just every week I feel like he's going to annoy you and you're going to be worried about him every week. And I just don't think you can own players like that in FPL.
Right. Although, and he can get subbed on like you've had twice.
Yeah.
Or
I
once.
Have indeed. And then get
you had it twice.
Yeah. Twice. I did. Yes, indeed.
Twice. Yeah.
So there you go. So Chilwell's obviously a sell for all of us, but you know, that like Richard said as well, he's dropping in price. You know, these price changes, they've carried on. They're usually by now slowing down, but, you know, we're getting to game week seven and they're still all over the place. So, yeah, it's quite tough. I think Botman and Trippier both went up and Chilwell went down yesterday. So, yeah.
Botman is gutting because a lot of people, myself included, were hoping he'd drop to 4.4 because obviously I had Rico Lewis, I could have moved. And he's 4.7. He's going to be 4.8 before the end of the week.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, I paid 4.6 for him, annoyingly, not 4.4, which I would have loved to pay. But ridiculously, you're mentioning price changes. And I think, was it only last week I was saying, like, you know, they've seemed more volatile than ever, but maybe I'm also being more chill personally on them than I've ever been. Very distinctly came back to bite me because I went to make my preferred move this weekend, which would be Jackson to Morris and Gabriel to Trippier. 0.1 short because of Jackson's drop. I bought him at 7.1, dropped to 7, so I lost my 0.1. Gabriel obviously had lost about 0.3 by then as well. If I'd clawed back even just 0.1, I would have had Trippier and Morris this week. That would have gone I would have benched Morris, to be fair, I think. So that would have gone better, at least, with Trippier. But because I didn't have the 0.1, I did Botman instead and rolled the other transfer. So while I do believe you shouldn't play for price rises, and I have done in the past, clearly it's hurt me there. So if one is going to change a move for you, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Right, let's have a look at this this Luton team then. So we're going to think about some assets from Luton so far. If we're looking at, by the way, I'm again giving this context just in case people start listening halfway through. Luton and Burnley obviously have a double game week. Luton have the nicer fixtures of the two of them in Everton and Burnley. And Burnley have, Luton and... Can't remember the other team they play now.
Newcastle. A team who only scored a few goals at the weekend.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to be looking at a few of their players. 66.6% of the presenters on this screen tonight have already brought a Luton player in this week. So top of XGI so far this season for Luton is Morris. Then we got Brown, who's in second. It's quite a considerable drop after Morris. Obviously, he's on penalties, which does help him. Brown is next. Then Kabore is third, interestingly.
So this is not a complete list, I would say, just before you. I don't want anyone to think maybe Kabore is top. I basically just wanted to grab the most FPL-relevant players, like give or take, because there's a lot that I just think we aren't going to look at.
Yeah. Doughty's next. Adebayo, Barkley, Burke, Chong, Bell and Anderson. So quite an eclectic list there still, I would say, and quite a few household names. Rich, if you're looking at this team, you've already brought someone in. If you don't want to tell us who that is until your team reveal, that's absolutely fine. But I think we can all imagine who it might be. Are there any other of those Luton players that are on your watch list maybe to invest in this week?
So the one that's been popular with like models and projected points that I've seen come up a few times has been Doughty. Mm. I've seen him come up a fair bit, but I think just from speaking, we mentioned Bricky before, haven't we? Luton fan. And I think he's quite worried there could be rotation, with the defenders. So not really. I mean, I guess Kaminsky you could, but then if you've got Pickford's got two amazing fixtures coming up now, home to Luton, home to Bournemouth.
This is the time.
Yeah. So I think maybe if you've got two free transfers, you're not that interested in Morris. You could look at one of the goalkeepers for either of the teams.
Yeah.
Or if you're looking to get rid of Chilwell and those funds are going to do something good for you, I think I'd just be really boring and go for Bell. Because
really?
At least you know he's nailed on. He's going to play both games. Yeah, just plug him in, especially if you've not got a lot of Newcastle defenders.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not that exciting, is it? I think it's all about Morris. And like you said, the penalties have helped there because, yeah, Morris has got 2.96 XGI, but obviously non-penalty XG is not 0.94. So he's obviously been helped by having two penalties.
Yeah, just a little bit.
That's the key with him, isn't it? That he's on penalties. I mean, if he'd missed the penalty this week, I think it would be harder to look at Morris.
Yeah.
Pre-season, there were some doubts. Was he definitely on pens? Now we know he is.
I mean, like you said, he is on pens. He's got two nice fixtures. Seb, if you don't have Morris and you have a Jackson or you have a player that you can move up to and whatever it is, how much would you be saying, yeah, that's got to be your move this week?
I mean, if you've got Jackson, it's a really easy move. If you've got Alvarez, you may well have just bought Alvarez and I think we preferred the Morris route and then Alvarez later. So I would understand hesitancy over selling, say, Alvarez for Morris, because you're probably then reversing it. João Pedro to Morris feels like another easy move as well. Who else is out there? Like Watkins, some really nice fixtures coming up, maybe against a hokey-cokey question. So if you have a striker who you're thinking of getting rid of anyway, Morris is the extremely obvious pick. Then it comes down to, do you captain him? Talk about that later. And then who do you move him to? So Watkins, Alvarez, I think both look good going forward. If you already have one of those other two, I think it's then how much do you back Morris to effectively pay you back two transfers worth of move, I guess it is.
Yeah.
You know, because in and out. So, yeah, I think definitely a look, but it depends who you have at the moment. And I wouldn't look at anyone else, I think, from Luton, unless you already have them, right? Kabore's been cheap for people on the bench. I think you mentioned there that the Luton defence might rotate a bit, although there's some defenders with decent numbers in about a six-game sample so far this season.
Mm.
But if you're bringing them in just for this week and then they're going to bench or got rid of eventually, unless you're wildcarding, I wouldn't prioritise them. It would be a goalkeeper or nothing for me. And we do have a defensive slide in a minute, which we can have a look at after Burnley.
I think that's why I prefer the 4.0 defenders over, like you mentioned, there's some good numbers on Luton defenders that are 4.5, but you're spending you're spending more money and you're taking on more risk, you know, that you're not going to get the minutes.
Yeah. And Rich, Seb briefly alluded to it a little bit just then as well. How much of a difference does it make if you don't have your wildcard anymore, if you're thinking about going for Morris?
Well, that's a tricky one, really. If you've already used it, I think I'd still be happy going for Morris.
Yeah.
But I guess it is very dependent on who you've done. I mean, I think one of the reasons me and Seb didn't go for Alvarez is because we had our eyes set on Morris.
Yeah.
So we've like deliberately, we've got lucky that Alvarez only got 1 point, but we've deliberately skipped over him for now so that we could go for Morris. So I think a lot of people have the plan already. if I had two free transfers and Alvarez, I would still be very tempted to do the move. But you, without wild card, you're then going to probably want to reverse it at some point.
That's that's what I'm wondering in terms of how valuable are those two free transfers you're using to get him in and get him back out again.
I think what I'd look at though, as a guest, let's say when we get to like game week 10 onwards, who would you want your second striker to be?
Yeah,
because Man City's fixtures aren't the best. So
I'm assuming maybe a lot of people are looking at something like, you know, a Watkins potentially with the transfers, with the fixtures looking quite nice. Although, will that happen? Because you've got Diaby there as well. I don't know, it's an interesting conversation because it could massively hurt you when you realise you've got to keep Morris for ages. Or is it that Morris is going to be your bench when you go for a 4-5-1 after game week 8, game week 9?
I mean, I like 4-5-1, clearly. But there's also the Pedro exit move. And I know it sounds crazy because he's just been benched. Seb's still holding him. I've only just sold him. But I mean, Brighton's fixtures from game week 10 onwards, they got Fulham, Everton, Sheffield United, Forest.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, you know, with them being the Miami Dolphins.
I would so love João Pedro to get a few more minutes because there's points there, obviously, not if he doesn't get the minutes. And this week, was it? I think we thought Ferguson was out, was he, I think? And then obviously started, which is potentially the player that benched João Pedro. So that's a bit unfortunate. But if we can't even make the call when we think his replacement is out, then it's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's not the same conversation, but it's not dissimilar to the conversation we've had the last few weeks with, I don't know, who's it been, like Son, Alvarez, Sterling. It's just the same thing every time, right? Which is relax a little bit around the hype, make the move that maybe doesn't seem that exciting or maybe doesn't seem that wise, but I swear on paper is often the obvious move or the obvious not move, for example. So not necessarily trying to knee-jerk to Sterling, Son, Alvarez or whatever. Absolutely, get them eventually if they're good picks. But someone like Morris, unless, as you mentioned, it's going to put you in a trouble going forward, if you've got, you know, Jackson, João Pedro, whoever, or a spot in your team for Morris, it's a really good 1 week, two fixture pick. And then you can go again. And I think we'll probably see a lot of like, oh, it's a Luton striker. I mean, he scored a penalty, so maybe that'll help, you know, the vibes on Twitter. But he's a Luton striker. He absolutely is. We've got his numbers from last season just down at the bottom there as well. So we can just verify. Obviously, the Championship is a lot easier. But I didn't want to just present, you know, 6 weeks of data from the Premier League. So last year, you know, 20 goals from lesser XG. So decent enough in the Championship. On penalties, we'll get the minutes, we would think. So I think there's opportunity there, and then you move on when it's done.
Yeah, there is quite a big difference between his XGI and obviously his non-penalty XGI as well. You know, 2.96 to 0.94. So it's quite a big difference there. He hasn't scored an open play goal yet this season, has he?
One thing I would love just to reply to in the chat as well from RT Whitby, which sounds like a writer of grand fiction. But I think just saying that the Son knee joke worked out, It didn't if you did Saka to Son or Bruno to Son, or it did for about 2 points. So I think Son is a player we're all going to want eventually. But I think this is my point. We can be very blinded by like, yes, Son scored 2 goals against Arsenal, but he didn't score 2 in the last week. If it was the other way around, of course, that would have been what we expected. So I think absolutely the expected points from those two fixtures, just the way around. But the point is, you probably sold Bruno or Saka. If you sold Rashford, brilliant, nice one. That's a great shout. But you may well have sold the same number of points as you brought in. And I think this is the same thing with like Morris, right? So we need to like just be a little chill on that stuff if we can.
Yeah. Moving on to Burnley. So Burnley are probably less fancied for this double game week. And obviously one of the big players that actually a lot of people were looking at was Lyle Foster. And obviously he got suspended. So he's not going to be, I think, is he playing in one of the games for the double game week? Or he's back for one of the games potentially. So correct me if I'm wrong there. I think there was a cup game that he was going to be suspended for as well. Then Amdouni, Cullen, Brownhill, Kaliosho.
Yeah, he's suspended for the first one, sorry.
Yeah, I thought it was. I couldn't remember off the top of my head. Aldakil, Connor Roberts, Berg, Goodmanson and Bayer. Those are in order of their XGI so far this season. Obviously, the person that's at the top there is Foster and he's out for, like I said, one of the games. So it's going to be tough to bring him in. I'm not going to lie, Rich. Looking down this list, I mean, I was looking down and thinking, Brownhill maybe, but you're not going to you're not going to lose one of your midfielders to go for Brownhill. He was good last season, I should say, but not so good, obviously, now. I mean, it's a tough ass to get any of these in for the double game week, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, Brownhill, obviously, he was one I was quite looking forward to, obviously, after last season. But he didn't play the first couple of games. Then he played 45 minutes. Then he's played the last couple of games. Also, I wanted to make a point before I forget. Obviously, because there's a double game week, because these two teams have played a game less than everyone else.
Yeah.
So when we're looking at these stats, we have to remember you can't directly compare like Carlton Morris. I was going to say you can't compare Carlton Morris to Haaland, but obviously he's played one less game than Haaland.
Normally you can.
He might score seven is what Rich is saying, right?
I just think it's worth bearing that in mind mentally when you, because these numbers all do look low, and yes, they are bad, but they have also played less games.
Yeah, per 90s is what we want here, right?
But yeah, but I mean, Foster, yeah, like you said, would have been interesting. Obviously, he'd done well before he got sent off. And he's cheaper, you know, he's cheaper still. He's 5 million. There's not really anyone I'm interested in here. I've seen a couple of people go for Connor Roberts, you know, at 4.4 million.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Their double's just not as good. And then you look at what Newcastle did yesterday, and I'm not saying they're going to beat them 8-0. You know, they're not going to win every game 8-0. It's not the first time Newcastle have done this, you know, where they've taken a massive lead, you know, sub Trippier off like really early, done a load of rotation. Yeah, I'm pretty put off Burnley, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah.
And I'm not even sure if I'd want to go the goalkeeper here.
Yeah. So I think, like,
yeah, go on then, Seb.
Oh, sorry, mate. I jumped in before you even offered. Apologies. So, yeah, I think so. We've put on the screen here, obviously, again, similar numbers to the losing ones, some picked players who are the closest you're going to get to FPL options. I put Foster on there just so we had the comparison for the rest of the players. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with him only having one fixture, don't go there. It's a single game week for him. I also put in Jay Rodriguez, I think it was, from last season. So we can do a similar comparison to, you know, obviously not getting the minutes this year. So unless he's replacing Foster or something, I don't think go there. But just for a comparison to that Morris one. So how a similar sort of player in terms, similar player, you know what I mean? Statistically, in terms of FPL, similar player looked for Burnley last year. And then Amdouni as well, the striker that obviously didn't play in the Championship last year, so we don't have expected data, I don't believe, but just numbers from, was it off the top of my head? I've got it up on screen. Was it Basel?
Basel, yeah.
Thank you. Oh, nailed it. Yeah, Swiss League. So obviously a poorer league than the Premier League, just like the Championship, but some decent enough numbers there. But I think if this segues us to the final Luton-Burnley slide, if I was going to go anywhere for Burnley, it would be the goalkeeper. And I've now done two transfers that don't involve the goalkeeper, so I will still have Edison. But the original plan, if I could have got Trippier last week, would have been bringing in Trafford for Edison this week. I think I would want Luton attacking assets and Burnley defensive assets if I had to have them. And as we know in FPL, you know, a goalkeeper with a couple of fixtures, opportunities for lots of saves there, especially if Newcastle go and try and score eight, could be a few points there, right? You know, might even get enough points to make it a single game week for him.
Yeah, it's so tough as well, isn't it? Like, you're trying to pick these players. I think Morris is the obvious pick. And I think, you know, obviously you two have gone for it. Not saying you two have, you know, done it because it's the obvious pick. It does just make a lot of sense to go for him. On penalty, he's got the two nice fixtures. And I think a lot of other players that have maybe got more than just Morris will be people that anticipated the double earlier. And that's why they got players like Kabore, for instance. Do you agree, Rich?
Sorry, I wasn't fully listening because I just, something Seb's put on the screen that's upset me a little bit.
Which one's that?
He's put the XGA from last season. Basically, Reading shouldn't have been relegated, but there was points deductions. So thanks for that. Sorry, what did you say?
So do you feel like the people that have got more than just Morris this week for this double game week are people that anticipated it couple of weeks ago, and maybe that's why they got Kabore, or even it had him in from the beginning potentially?
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of people had that 4.0 defender, didn't they, from the beginning, so they might have Bayer, Kabore, whoever. And I mean, I think it's easy to play them, you know, if you've got the goalkeeper already, but you know, for some reason, I'd play your double game week players if you think they're going to play two games. Maybe some people have been planning. I mean, obviously some people, fair play to them, have got Morris in a couple of weeks ago. I mean, I had people on here where they were saying I should do Pedro to Morris a couple of weeks ago, if you remember, Pedro dropped in price. So yeah, I think people have been pre-planning for it. I mean, we can't make it sound that glamorous. It is very much, you know, it's very boring, like this game week, but I mean, it won't be boring on Tuesday night under the lights.
Exactly. Tuesday night lights.
Well, the one thing with Burnley is they do just have some all right fixtures afterwards as well, which I think. So if, again, in that original plan, I was holding then Trafford until my wild card in like 9 or 10. So that would have meant I was playing Chelsea, not ideal, Brentford, all right, Bournemouth, Palace, are sort of the fixtures around that time. So Chelsea not ideal, actually, to be fair. They're a guaranteed clean sheet, aren't they?
Right. Exactly.
But so yeah, if you had to hold, say, your Burnley goalkeeper, you could. Although a lot of people do have Pickford as well, and I think you mentioned had decent fixtures.
Yeah. And around all this off as well, we've got a special over or under this week. So this is just for the double game week. Shout out again to FPL Ferrell for doing the graphic for us. So this is how many points you think they're going to score in this double game week. Now, I feel like I've been a little bit optimistic with some of these. So we could be hearing a lot of unders here.
Just because you went too low last week, so you upped it up, pumped those numbers up a little bit.
Exactly. So the first one, of course, is Morris. I put him as 10.5 for this double game week. And obviously he's got Everton and Burnley. Seb, what do you think about 10.5? Fancy that? Overall?
Easy over, because I'm captaining him. That's how it works, isn't it?
Oh, easy. So definitely over then. Rich, what do you think?
I think he's going to do it.
Yeah.
And I know, like, obviously, we talked about this before, didn't we, where Seb did, about projection models, you know, are always going to be on the lower side because it's the average.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at, you know, the scout projections, for example. They do have Morris top, but it was about 7.8.
Yeah.
But I think I'm confident he's going to score. I think that would be enough.
Okay.
It's not like Haaland, is it, where Haaland scores, he doesn't necessarily get bonus. Morris will get the bonus when he scores.
So the next one is Kabore. I've put him as 6.5. So 6.5 over or under, Rich, what do you think?
I think Burnley will score, so will Everton. It's tough. I'm going to go under.
Yeah.
See. Oh, but it feels harsh because the minimum is going to get 4 potentially. I'm going to go under.
Okay. Seb?
That's the thing. You say, like, the minimum is 4. It is, unless you concede a bunch of goals. Unless, I guess, obviously clean sheet, which is what we're picking for, or, like, any attacking returns. I have zero confidence in attacking returns. And so, it's, do they keep a clean sheet? And under? Because they're not going to keep, he's not going to get bonus unless they keep a clean sheet. So 6.5 is really low, but that's basically what you're picking on. And I don't think there's a clean sheet there.
I think the odds, this is, again, just off the top of my head, was like 18% for each clean sheet. So it was there or thereabouts.
Oof, that is. As in, so each match was an 18% chance of a clean sheet?
Give or take. I think the Burnley match was better odds.
For comparison, we regularly see like City and Arsenal with like 40 and 45% chances of clean sheets.
Yeah, but they haven't got Edison in goal.
True that. So yeah, I mean, that's tough, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. On to Kaminsky next then, 5.5. Seb, fancy that over or under?
I'll go. Ooh, I shouted into the mic. I'm so sorry for anyone listening there.
I'll go.
Too excited about over 5.5. I'll go over. Yeah. This because saves are available to him, unlike say the defenders, right? So turn up twice, get 4 points, make a couple of saves. Jobs are good.
Yeah, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, I think over there, and I think he's got, like Seb says, because of saves. I think it, clearly he's going to get more points than Kabore, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
Can I just point out, this is why double game week goalkeepers are great.
Mm-hmm.
Holding them long term might be bad, but we're saying over 5.5 for a goalkeeper here. Normally your goalkeeper only gets over 5.5 if they keep a clean sheet. So, you know, goalkeepers, cheap goalkeepers in doubles are lovely.
Yeah.
It's like good midfielder numbers, really, isn't it, if you're projecting over to 5.5.
Yeah. Well, Brownhill next then. I've got a 6.5, Rich. What do you think? Over or under?
So he has played the last two games, hasn't he? It's Newcastle. Yeah, I'm going to go over.
Oh, I like it. Seb?
Under.
Under? Seb's like, no, under now. What about Connor Roberts then, Seb? Over or under, 6.5.
Under.
Rich?
Yeah, I'm going to go under there.
I go under there as well.
But basically, I don't know if I've done the right thing here. I'm saying that Brownhill's going to return, aren't I?
Yeah, you have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so
why
I'm writing that down. And last one, Trafford, 4.5 over or under.
Oh, over. So 4.5. Turn up, make some saves, concede less than 6, concede 5.
Don't know, Rich.
Yeah, I think that's an over.
Oh, do you? God, he's so confident.
It's just, all he has to do is make a couple of saves here and there, isn't he?
I don't know. Right, let's move on to some teams.
All he has to do is make a couple of saves. Exactly. I've heard that very often about my goalkeeper.
Yeah,
all he has to do, Rich, is make a
I've never said that about Pickford.
No. Right, here we go then. So let's have a look at our bus team so far. So I've got Pickford in goal. I haven't made a move yet, by the way. So I've got Pickford in goal, who's got Luton
so
at home. I know, who's got Luton at home. Yeah, I've lost the overall rank, maybe, but I haven't made a move.
Maybe you should have lost money. Move, Andy, yeah. the rank.
I've lost a lot of money recently. I'm almost down to like 100 mil.
You've got more than me. I looked earlier.
I definitely thought you meant real life then. I thought you'd been like taking side bets on FBL and be like, guys, it's not going well.
Insider trading. So I got Pickford in goal, he's got Luton, Chilwell, Estupin and Saliba at the back at the moment. Then I've got Mbeumo, Rashford, Foden, Saka, Bruno. Love that midfield. Look at those fixtures. Absolutely love it. And then Julian Alvarez and Haaland captain at the moment, with Udogie, Colwill on the bench, Turner on the bench too, and Osula, who's obviously injured, and went down 0.1. Oh, that actually hurt more than any of my other players going down 0.1. So Osula went down 0.1 as well. So my planned move at the moment, before I did anything, even last week when I did my Jackson Alvarez move, was Chilwell to Botman. That's what I was planning to do. So I had Botman and I just wanted it, and obviously wanted to get rid of Chilwell. Obviously Newcastle have a nice fixture this week. This is what FPL does for you. I even contemplated this week doing a hit and doing Chilwell to Botman and Alvarez to Morris and captaining Morris, because that's how annoyed I was this week when I was like, I obviously had quite a few pints and I was like, do you know what? I could just get rid of Alvarez now. He's already let me down. Bring Morris in. But I'm obviously not doing that. So Chilwell to Botman is going to be my move, I think. And I'm almost in a position where, and I was talking to Mark, I don't feel like I have to wildcard in game week 8, but I'm most likely going to. But I don't feel like I have to, which sounds crazy at 3 mil overall rank. But yeah, Chilwell to Botman, I think that's probably my move.
Just to say on the wildcard, 3 million overall rank, but that's you shouldn't wildcard out of a bad rank or like or a low score, because it doesn't fix it. It doesn't give you a better score back or anything like that. It just changes up your team, but you're equally capable of... That was going to sound bad. You're equally capable of building a bad team, Andy. Anyone is equally capable of building a bad team on wildcard.
Andy, you should just build another bad team.
Yeah, mate, yeah. It's over. Just quit.
Yeah.
It says the guy at 1.3 million, imagine. but yeah, you should only ever really wildcard into a position of strength, i.e. fixture swings or doubles or something like that, or if genuinely your team is just missing like four players and so you're not going to get teams out, that's also a pretty good reason to wildcard.
Yours
looks fine.
Yeah, Rich, anything to say on that one?
I can understand the wildcard 8 a little bit, because obviously you've got the triple Man City attack, which obviously looks very good this week away at Wolves. There always seems to be red cards in that fixture. I remember many over the recent years. But yeah, I think the team looks good. But yeah, you're going to get to game week 8, and it's not going to look as good with 2 Arsenal and 3 Man City. But I guess the counterpoint to that is then you get through that, and it's not too bad, is it?
Yeah, exactly.
But I guess you can always decide next week. I like the Chilwell to Botman move.
My biggest issue is getting to Salah if I don't wildcard. Is how I get to him for game week 9, because freeing up funds would be quite...
It's Haaland down.
Though we were talking about obviously not wildcarding this week, but I think you would wildcard over this period, right? Or are you looking to try and navigate through it?
I wanted to leave myself the options open, which is why I'm bringing in, like, say, a Botman who I want long term anyway, and just trying to make moves that I would want long term, basically. But that's fair.
I think
how to make the funds available for Salah later on, which is tricky, because I'd have to lose one of Rashford or Bruno, and it would be Foden and Saka would have to. It's a lot of moves to try and make it work.
I think like it's...
Or Haaland, like Rich said, but I don't know whether I've got the ball for that.
But I mean, on wildcard, I guess you could try and then have Haaland and Salah, to be fair. It's easier to do that because you can rejig the whole thing. But I think, probably lighten on City a little bit, if only to be able to fit other players in. We need to be looking at Villa, Liverpool, obviously Salah, Brighton Newcastle. Soon, not at the same time, Brighton a little bit afterwards, also have some very lovely fixtures if we can work out who's going to be playing in those, at least a stupid man, hopefully. And then also Spurs, right? Is it game week 8 that they've got Luton? Is it? Mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
So, with no Spurs, or doggy, but no Spurs attack in that team, you'd probably want some of that as well. So I think at that point, we go from saying don't wildcard out of a fine team to, next week or the week after, are you going to wildcard into a better team? And I think that's a
different conversation. Mm-hmm. If you can get all those players with just free transfers, then cool. But I don't know if you can, or if you can on time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can it's I just be... make a point, actually? If you go into wildcard in Game Week 8,
yeah,
I then think the Alvarez to Morris move makes more sense because you can play Colwill over Chilwell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can just
Colwill's definitely going to play either left centre back or left back.
But Newcastle score 8 every week and all the defenders are getting all the points, mate. So.
They got Fulham.
Yeah, they do.
The only team to have scored 8 this week.
Sorry, I should have been clearer there. Yeah, so you could do Alvarez to Morris only if you're dead set on wildcarding an 8.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing.
I'd want to check prices as well. Just make sure you don't do something silly like you've got this wildcard team planned, you do that move, you lose 0.1 selling value, and then like you're like, oh no, I can't finish my team or something.
Right, let's move on to a good team. Rich, talk us through it.
Oh, I thought you were going on to Seb then. Let's have a look. Oh, yeah. So I've already done my move. I'll read out my team, though. So Pickford in goal, Luton at home, which contradicts the Morris thing, but we'll get to that. Then I'm going to play Robertson away to Spurs, Trippier home to Burnley, Walker away to Wolves. We've got Rashford, Bruno, Sterling, Saka, and Bremo. They've all got good fixtures. I've got Morris captain at the moment. I'm not 100% on that, by the way. And then Haaland, vice-captain, with Stupinan, Archer and Lewis on the bench. So I've done my move already. I did Pedro to Morris. Captaincy's up in the air. I'm kind of torn between Stupinan and Robertson. I think I'm going to play Robertson, though, even though it's away at Tottenham.
Yeah.
However, it's another week where, like, if I find out for some reason Rico Lewis might play, I can bung him in over Robertson. But I've said that, like, what? This would be the sixth week I've said it now, won't it?
Yeah, it's a good move. I think it's a good move. We spoke about this, didn't we, with Pedro, where it's an easy move moving from him, which is nice. If you had to say a percentage now for how close you are to captaining Morris next week, whereabouts are you?
Honestly, it keeps flip-flopping. I'm never more than like 40%. Yeah, I don't really know what's going to make my decision. I think it's going to be how bold I'm feeling at the end of the week.
Yeah.
The fact is, I mean, Haaland's away from home. Morris has got 2 fixtures. And it's a bit more fun. But also, I've just had 2 really good weeks. And I've done this before where, you know, I've had an awful season, you know, many awful weeks, had a couple of good weeks, get overconfident, Captain Morris. And I'm never going to look back and be like, oh, that was clever, Captaining Morris over Haaland. So, yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know.
I'd love to see you do it.
There was one reason I did think about waiting on Morris, because obviously we should say there are League Cup matches.
Yeah.
During the week.
Oh, imagine he gets injured. Oh,
I know.
Dear.
No, well, I don't think he'll play because, I mean, they're playing Exeter City. Even Reading just beat Exeter 9-0. So I don't think there's a reason he'll play. But I did think about, should I be bringing like Botman or something in? Because I feel like the push on Newcastle defenders now is going to be so strong. It's going to be just like last season. We're having one's not really going to be enough. I'm not really going to benefit Ronan Trippier. Well, apart from obviously what happened yesterday. But yeah. Going forward. I think their EO is going to go over 100% again.
Yeah, no, I do agree with you.
Can I point out that Rich has got the vice on Mbeumo? So,
flip-flopping
between Morris and Haaland, but mate, Mbeumo right there.
So when I took the screenshot, I hadn't actually changed last week.
Imagine if Morris missed both games and Mbeumo became your vice captain. Brace against Forest away. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Seb, moving on to your team. And oh, look at this. We've got another Morris.
Oh, well, yeah, but, you know, Rich went first, man. I'm just copying him. He's the good manager here. Edison in goal still. Trippier is my transfer in. I have a Stupinan and Botman as well at the back. Saka, who I might play this time. Rashford and Mbeumo, Fernandez, Foden. Haaland vice-captain and Morris in captaincy was my other transfer for 2 frees. A bench of Turner, João Pedro and suspensions and injuries. At one point, I did consider, like, oh, do I need to use a wildcard, as we mentioned a minute ago? Do I have enough players out and who are problems to wildcard out of this? I did have a little look at it, but for me and for anyone in a similar situation, I could transfer to a good 11. I guess I might lose some value as well on the bench. I've already lost a bit on Bardock, which is frustrating, but there you go. But anything I did wildcard this week, I'd probably want to include, say, at least Morris, maybe then I'd end up at Trafford as well. But I'd then probably want to be making even 2, 3, 4 transfers in the next 1 or 2 weeks to get to like the next favorite or optimal team. So I figure hold off, and the team looks really good, I think, for this week, and use the wild card at least next week, maybe the next couple, to move to that sort of next bit of fixtures.
Yeah, nice. It's just funny how it can turn, isn't it? Like, your team looks so good, especially with like Gusto there, and obviously they didn't keep a clean sheet, but for them, him to then get sent off as well, and you got Baldock. But at least
he was doing well in bonus transfers as well at the time. I think that was nuts.
At least, but you did have your two free transfers as well, didn't you? Which helps.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a bit of catharsis there, right? I think you probably mentioned that. What was it, Alvarez, or in your liquid state? They just want to flex a bit and get rid of the players done badly or whatever. I will admit, having two free transfers and going early for the first time this season, because price changes would have caused me problems in the future. They've caused me problems in the past, so I get ahead of it this time. Yeah, it was certainly calmed me down a bit, being able to make some transfers right and make it feel like I was moving on to next week.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not laughing at Seb's team, by the way. Just there was a comment that not Seb as well. What's going on?
Look, Morris is definitely going to betray us and this will go terribly. But enough of that not Seb as well, right? The last few weeks, Newcastle, the various transfers, Alvarez, we've come out on top of these players. So it'd be nice if our points showed it. But I back Morris, just like 51%.
51%, I like it.
I must admit, so when I sent it last night, I was on Morris. And earlier, as in before we came on, I am on Haaland again. But I'm not.
Oh, I'd like to change my answer, please.
Like Seb's definitely.
It's not obviously we can only captain one player, right? So whoever we end up on, it will be like, oh, you 100% wanted to captain this player. If you look at your various models and whatnot, which I think is a good, you know, I'm not saying make your decision just based on models, but in a situation like this, where instinctively you might be like, look, Haaland is just so much of a better player. A nice way to quantify how valuable two fixtures are is by looking at the models and seeing how close they have it. A lot of them have Morris either second or first in terms of best captaincy option this week. That does not mean you should go with Morris, but it just shows that it is a conversation to be had. I think I might go there. But going against Haaland hasn't traditionally gone very well, has it?
What's interesting with this is we've had a lot of double game week captains like this before. I mean, Josh King, for example, as in 90-minute men who are on penalties. And as far as projections go, he's probably one of the lower 90-minute men on penalties. You know, he's not as good as...
Sorry, who's a 90-minute man? Morris?
Morris.
I don't think he's a 90-minute man anymore.
82-minute man.
No. He's gone off at 60 minutes sometimes this season.
What was it? He went off at 70-odd.
Yeah. Just saying, don't paint him as this 90-minute man, young man.
He's been 90 minutes every week, apart from, 73 against...
There you go.
Against Fulham. So, okay. Out of the 88-minute men that are on penalties, I'm just saying he's not, you know, despite the amazing fixtures, he's probably been projected just over 3 points per game. But obviously, then you
make a really good point, right? Normally, we'd expect to see, I don't know who else could have a double here, even just someone like Watkins. That would be a pretty heavy favourite over Haaland captaincy. But Morris, the fact that it's even a conversation shows. Well, I mean, what it shows is that Morris literally needs two matches to get close to Haaland. That's what it shows.
Yeah.
There was that one. There was a Fulham-Chelsea double last year. And I seem to remember it was a struggle. Because obviously Chelsea didn't have many nailed players. Not really any goal scorers. I think that was a week where the goalkeepers, like I remember having Leno.
Yeah.
But the goalkeepers were, you know, projected the highest. But
I'm excited by the prospect of having somebody that captains Morris on this stream, somebody that owns him, and somebody that doesn't own him next week.
Are you tempted at all?
No, I don't think so.
Are we being gaslit by Andy? Is that what's happening here?
What's that? I don't think I'm tempted. No,
he's trying to make it sound like he's not getting in for an experiment. So
when I bought Alvarez,
at the end of the season, he's going to release a book.
In my head, it's not going very well though, Seb. In my head, I was like, no, I'm buying Alvarez, knowing this means I won't get Morris. Which I kind of cooled on him a little bit because when it first got announced, the double game week, I was like, yeah, I'm going to be having him. And then obviously I still think Alvarez can do well, obviously, this week. And I wanted him moving forward and I wanted him because of the price rises and everything as well. And I just thought, actually, yeah, I'm just going to do it. The only thing that made me kind of think about it was the fact that wildcarding, because obviously if I got him in, he's a perfect 1 week pump. But yeah, I don't think I'm tempted, no. Which is, we'll see how that goes. Right, moving on to the community team, who are, they've had a good week. 80-odd point, Onana in goal, Botman, Ruben, Diaz, Estupinan, Rashford, Matoma, Sterling, Saka, Madison, Alvarez and Haaland. They've done well. They've got Kabore on the bench ready to come in. They're doing okay. They are now beating me and Seb. So they were about 800k behind Seb last week, and they're now 500k ahead of Seb. So
what moves?
So Rich is the only one not wearing a wrestling mask for the first stream of the season next season.
This can change very quickly. 2 weeks ago, I was bottom. Yeah. I was the only person below the community team, I think.
Yeah, yeah, very true. Yeah, yeah.
One thing I'd love to point out with this team as well is I just mentioned a moment ago about how, you know, I think the last few weeks, us three have done a decent job of at least trying to remain level-headed and, you know, offer advice on whether to buy or sell certain players. But, you know, it's not all about us, and I would hate to sound any sort of arrogant there. So I'd love to point out that, like, Anana here, right, a goalkeeper that a lot of people started the season with and probably sold because didn't get the points that people were hoping for, despite the fixtures not being that great, probably, for them. And then when when the better fixtures come around, Anana's immediately gone and got himself a clean sheet. So fair play to the comm team for remaining chill and keeping Anana there. Nice work. And
the Wolves game definitely helped, didn't it?
I will say as well about this this community team, they are well managed and their group chat is very good. They do things by polls. They talk about things. They've got good managers in there as well. Lots of top 100K finishers in there.
We're screwed, aren't we?
They're good. And because sometimes doing it as a group can ruin you. Like, you know, you just don't know what you're doing. But actually, they're doing really, really well.
They haven't captained Nick Pope.
No, that's very true. Exactly.
We should. Where did the comm team finish last year? Was it like 40, 50, 60, something like that?
Yeah.
We should see if this one can. I mean, obviously, seasons are different, but cool if this one can beat it.
Yeah, we'll see how it does. So we're going to start a bit of Q&A. Doze. I'm still a little bit
hungover. Thanks for joining me on the terrible speaking. we'll do gooder.
So we better get a bit of a Q&A going now. So we've kept it to about an hour, which is pretty good for us, actually. So we're going to go with a little bit of a Q&A now. Chuck us in some questions. We do have somebody that's just put in a super chat for £20. So we better answer that one.
Oh, gosh.
I'm assuming he meant to do that, but either way, we're going to answer it. He said, love listening to you. Thank you very much, mate. It's from A. That's what his name is on here. Don't know anything more than that. He said, do I do Wissa and Sterling to Morris and Bowen or JWP for a -4? What are your thoughts? And which one of Bowen or JWP do you prefer as a one-week punt? So I'm assuming he's wildcarding next week and he wants to get in Morris, basically. But who does he go for? So does he do Wissa and Sterling to Morris and Bowen or James Ward-Prowse for a -4? What do you think? I'm going to go to Rich because Seb looks like he needs like another couple of seconds to work it out.
I would just do Wissa to Morris.
Yeah.
And then I'd keep Sterling.
Yeah.
I get that West Ham have got a good fixture this week. Very, very good fixture. But I wouldn't do it for a -4. So, yeah, just Wissa to Morris.
They have gone massively under the radar, though. Bowen and Ward-Prowse. Like, Bowen seems to still be doing well. He's having another one of those seasons, isn't he?
Yeah, it was a nice header that he scored against Liverpool. I was a bit gutted because, obviously, I've got Robertson. But, he's done well. Ward-Prowse has done well. But, obviously, he's the king of the overperforming table at the moment. Yeah, I'm not that disappointed with Sterling. I mean, I'm disappointed in the points he's put together. But like I said earlier, you know, he would have had an assist if it wasn't for marginal offside.
Yeah, very true. Seb, what do you think?
I mean, I think Rich has put that lovely. I was looking up the fixture, which Rich already knew. Sheffield United, I think, is the reason we're attracted to West Ham, right? And yeah, they've just gone and conceded 8. How often do we see the team who Southampton, Leicester, for example, concede 8, 9, 7, whatever it is, then go and like draw 0-0 or win 1-0 or lose 1-0 the following week. A very natural reaction to concede that many goals is to completely shut up shop. Doesn't mean they'll be capable of it, but for a -4, yeah, it's a 1 week punt, and yeah, you're just trying to target the weakest team and get as many points as possible. Could absolutely come off for you, but I think the Morris move is enough. You're getting your double in there. That's a good enough 1 week punt before you wildcard. I don't think you need to risk losing 4 points on another move.
Yeah. Balls deep. This isn't a question. He just says, I just want to shout out and say, fabulous job, guys. Ranks this early still does not dictate the quality of a channel, and you boys are a class act. Just as well. Just as well it doesn't dictate it. But thank you very much, mate. We do always appreciate that. Thomas says, do I bench Sterling or Mbeumo? Apparently Sterling's on pens. He was stepping to take one last game but got cancelled. So would you bench Sterling or Mbeumo this week, Seb?
Sterling on penalties is interesting. Jackson presumably was on the pitch. That's a wish we'd had that information earlier. But going forward, that's a really useful thing to know. And now I'm stalling while I look at the fixtures. Thank you so much. So Stirling has Fulham away and Mbeumo has, was it Forest away? Oh, tough one. Yeah, I guess we don't have confirmation that Stirling is on penalties, so that's really interesting to know. I think I play Mbeumo, but I'd love to know what Rich thinks.
I wouldn't bench either.
Well, there you go.
I literally couldn't. Oh, I think you'd have to bench Stirling. But I really don't love it. I'm surprised that's a dilemma.
Mm.
I'm trying to think what you could have to possibly need to do that. I'm assuming you've got five in the midfield and Morris
to play. Yeah, so like Haaland, Alvarez, Morris, five in the midfield, which probably like maybe it includes Saka. Salah, maybe it includes. I mean, if the Spurs in there, I'd bench them. I know like they've just got a bunch of points as well, but the fixture stuff.
Liverpool look really good.
Yeah.
And Madison could be injured, but again, we're making a lot of assumptions here. I'll try not to bench either of them.
Beardy, Bruce Lee Central, says, is it even possible to go from a 1 mil rank to a top 50k rank now? Rich?
Oh, yeah. I just thought I can answer that. Well, yeah, I mean, literally on Saturday night, I was 100k. Yeah. And on Sunday, I was 1.3 million. And that isn't because on Saturday night, I was on like 90 points when everyone was on 10. I was like 15 points up on the field and I went from, was it like 500K or something to 100K? Mm. And then I went from 500K to 1.3 million, basically with the swing just going the other way. So yeah, I'd much rather not have to go from 1.3 million to like, what was it, top 50? But not just possible. I think an awful lot of people will do it this year, right? We're only 7 weeks in and of course rank matters, but there's a very long time to get to a rank that really matters.
Yeah, Rich?
Yeah, I mean, easy. Even later in the season, don't forget, remember the World Cup last summer at Christmas, I was a million, wasn't I? And I finished bang on 50k. And I mean, there was a lot of people who did that. And like Seb's example is even better, that he's dropped, basically almost dropped that in one week. So,
what about if you're around 3 mil? Just asking for a friend, you reckon?
You'll have to ask Mark Southerns, I guess.
Fair.
He's flying this year, isn't he?
He is. Well, yeah. He was. He didn't do that well this week, but yeah, he's done very well recently. On Saturday, I was above him. I went above him on points on Saturday. Yeah. Didn't obviously finish like that on Sunday, but no, yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. He had 15 after Saturday and I had 40. So 25 points was enough to take me above him. And obviously it didn't finish like that, but yeah.
You know what? In all seriousness, he's had a couple of tough years, hasn't he? And then like he's still, I really respect the way he still sort of plays. I don't know how to describe it, right? Because he always tries to do something that is like led by himself, as opposed to like if he doesn't trust someone else's advice or a model or anything else, he will try and make a decision that he's comfortable with, as opposed to necessarily a decision that he might go, oh, I'm being told this is optimal, whatever. Absolutely respect that, but more respect the fact that like a couple of tough seasons and is still playing in a proactive, extremely skillful way. Like it'd be very easy just to go, ah, screw it, and either just, you know, put no thought into it or do the opposite, right? Start making crazy moves. And so, yeah, fair play.
Yeah, no, he's one of a kind, old Mark. Right, chat, thank you so much for your questions. I think we peaked about 850 people watching tonight, so thank you so much for joining us. Rich, obviously it's a pleasure as always. Looking forward to that Morris captaincy next week. I hope you enjoyed yourself tonight.
Yeah, I did. I mean, to be honest, he won't have even played next time we're on this, will he? As in the Tuesday night under the lights.
Yeah, very true.
So we'll be able to touch base, I guess, halfway through.
Oh, God, yeah. That could go either way, couldn't it?
So we'll know how Haaland's done and Morris will have catching up to do.
And Seb, thank you so much for joining us as well. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
I really did, yeah. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk and crazy to do it in such a week, right? Where you go from up here to down here, but... Lovely exactly. to come talk to you. And I mean, it's always just as good fun, right? Which I think is a sign that at least we're enjoying ourselves. And I hope other people are as well.
Exactly that. So yeah, if you're watching, make sure to give the stream a like, because it really helps us to be seen. Lovely stuff. We'll see you all next week. Don't go crazy on the Luton boys, but you never know. You might be able to have one or two. Thank you so much. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.